JG1, number 26B.
What we're saying to each other is the personal friends, if we do pull one out, that's the laws of limitation, isn't it? It becomes too limited. And love wants to make it all a universal blessing. It wants everything all. So even in our human relationships with the husband and the wife and the family and all this, we share each other, huh? We have our friends. We don't just go into our little house, close the door and say, now here's husband, here's wife, here's children, and we block everybody out because we're afraid the husband's going here, next door, the wife's going to go next door. Will they come back? Won't they be come back? We have to have that trust in this realm of love. You see that it's that whole sense of responsibility, huh? Of trust, and all these wonderful qualities start coming out. The personal business and the fear and taking it in and slamming the doors out of fear that anybody's going to come in and grab away what I have, all leaves. And it's all, every relationship, you'll see here in the family law when we take it, we give ourselves back to the principal, we give the husband back, the wife back, all the kids back to principal, they belong to principal anyhow, and then let principal reflect it, and what blesses one blesses all. We have to have that feeling. It won't work. Relationships won't work in that old personal, this is mine and it's not your attitude. That it has to be a reflection in a trust, in a love. That's real love, isn't it? Where we can have a relationship with someone and just not worry, just go out and let them all have relationships and friends. I mean, friends, you know, at work and not be concerned and know that the integrity is there, the responsibility is there, their commitment was there. See, love should get rid of fear. And isolation and reflection. And if we can't trust people, or who wants to always be hiring a detective to go out and find out if the other one's going to come home at night or not? These things are all passe. If it doesn't work, too bad. I mean, then it isn't principle. The nice thing about that, we're taking marriage as an example on the human, because it is a Christianity tone in the marriage chapter. It shows in there how qualities blend with qualities. It shows there how the concession to the human is for the advancement of spiritual good. So the word at Christianity has that sense of love. So it says our concession to the human, to marriages or relationships, whether it's between a husband and wife, friendships are marriages too. You marry each other in the sense as you blend in what we do together and see shows, play tennis, as you say, all these things. That concession to the human, in all our relationships, are always for the advancement of spiritual good, meaning that like attracts like. She shows how qualities blend. And then in a real marriage, that qualities blend, and they have to bring out something higher. There has to be something higher that comes out of in a relationship, otherwise on the human, why bother? She says that when qualities blend, and if you see it's bringing out something higher, that's what's right about it, huh? And so in our relationship, something higher has to come out, certainly not something negative, and it will be negative if it's personal. It won't be negative if it's impersonal and universal and a blessing. So all this everything that happens today, you'll see more and more. Whatever we have, everybody enjoys. Everybody enjoys and is glad about it. See, whether it's friends or whatever, it's all shared. Then, it just fills the sail. You think that it fills it in infinite direction. It frees us from these horrible laws of restriction. It's another experience, isn't it? On another standpoint, another attitude, it's love. It frees from fear and limitation. It's terrific. It translates itself to every experience.
I think you see the principle of friendship in the face of catastrophe.
Yes, it's a principle of friendship.
Friends come together, didn't even know they were friends, didn't even know each other.
Yeah, because of the principle.
And it's certainly impersonal.
It's impersonal. It has to be.
Love is being expressed.
Right. It has to be impersonal. And when one sees that life is providing for us out of the abundance of life all that we need, and love is caring for it, we get everything, all the ideas and everything to provide for all our experiences, all our friends, our business, our everything. They won't come and go because life has given it to us impersonally, and love is preserving it. Love never will lose sight of loveliness. If it's a principled friendship, it will never be lost. Never. Because love can never lose sight of loveliness. If it's on the right basis, the right qualities, we don't have to worry about it. Because God has given it to us. And what God has given us, let no man put asunder. It's come from the right basis. It's come from a principled basis. And it's that prayer that we just release everything, let go, and just pray. Just stay on this law, and it works. Okay. So we now see then that law on the level of absolute Christian science, is Christianity at the level of absolute Christian science, that law then is the divine parenting, the father and mother sense, taking care of the creation, universe, creation, man. So we see then that particular law is in being, and that then exists right here, that law of eternalization, that law of conservation as life in love. And so that one love, that all in all, that all embracing love, it embraces, because it becomes a father, mother, love, and takes care of its creation. And now we want to see what the Christianity as Christian science level brings out, and then we will see how life and love has a law of interdependence between the absolute Christian science and Christian science level. So if we turn to page 54 in the study aid, we're going to take a look now at the Christianity at Christian science level, and then we will tie those two levels together eventually. And here we see on page 54 the Christianity order. And what's interesting about those synonymous terms in science and health on page 587, that it's the only time, really, that when Mrs. Eddy gives an order of the synonymous terms, that there's a semicolon after each one. Principle, semicolon, mind, semicolon, soul, semicolon, spirit, semicolon, life, semicolon, truth, semicolon. And one thing, that's funny, you never see something like that. And though when one gets to working with the Christianity order, one begins to realize that big question always there is, well, how big is the idea? Well, the idea is always as big as mind, principle itself, and as big as mind itself, and as big as soul itself, and as big as spirit itself, and as big as life itself, and as big as truth itself, and as big as love itself. It's a divine hologram, and it always reflects the whole. Every part reflects the whole. And it's interesting then how Mrs. Eddy would use whatever she could to try to get that across to us, in is doing more with less, and just figured, well, the wise responder to the system will begin to wonder why those semicolons are there and realize they mean full stop, and that every idea seems to reflect the whole, bringing out that sense there, it looks like. Now, when we look then at this principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, that's just then what the nature of ideas seem to have. And again, this Christianity order, the law of reflection and demonstration, one builds that up through the tonality of various ideas, just like we did with the other orders. To find out what principle means in the order, we have various standpoints. First, we have the nature of the ideas in its relationship to principle, what that does on the human, and how it annihilates any sense of mortal manhood in us. And then the idea's relationship to mind, what it does to the human, and how it dispels of any mortal manhood. And then we have the idea's relationship to soul, what it does on the human, and its impact on the mortal, and so on. So we'll do this exercise now. It's always just here to build up a better understanding of why those synonymous terms appear in the Christianity order. So as we begin now, we take that standpoint of Christianity, the standpoint of the idea, the outcome of the word in the Christ is that principle is expressing itself as an ideational universe, an ideational earth, an ideational all mankind. So we ask that principle from the standpoint of idea, how big is the idea? And it answers by saying, oh, well, the nature of the idea is that all ideas have only one principle. The idea is as big as principle itself because it's principle's idea. It's a hologram of principle. So we even have seen in the world that if you take a holographic image and you drop the plate and then just pick up part of the plate that fell and shine a laser beam through it, that part reflects again the whole plate, that even though it's just a piece. So the idea is a divine hologram where every part reflects the whole. What does that do in the human? It makes us principled and impersonal as we see. And therefore it resolves the personal I. So all of our relationships, our relationships here with principle are on a principled basis, an impersonal basis. That's not cold, that's love. Love is not partial. It is a blessing to everyone. And so therefore one loses that sense of fragmentation of a personal I, which is therefore not reflecting love, the whole. And then we say, oh, well then, what is the relationship of the idea to mind? How big is the idea? And the answer is, oh, well, it's as big as mind itself. That divine holographic image is mind and expression, and that idea is within the realm of ideas. And what it does then to the human is it causes us to think in ideas, think in the third degree, think in divine reality values. And it causes us to give up, of course, any false beliefs, illusions, misconceptions. Those have just disappeared through the retranslation of the Christ. All mortal manhood is excluded from a system which is all in all. If it's all in all, then thinking in false beliefs has been taken away from us through the phase transition of the Christ, and the outcome is we think no longer in false beliefs, only in ideas. Then we look at soul from the standpoint of the idea, and we say, oh, well, how big is the idea in relationship to soul? And soul says, well, it's as big as soul itself. In fact, every idea identifies itself with principle mind. And therefore, it always identifies itself with the whole. Well, naturally, on the human, that's going to make us selfless, because we're always identifying with a whole universal blessing, that which blesses all. And we see then what blesses one, blesses all. We leave that selfish, egotistic, sense of things, and we begin to have within our consciousness an attitude of being a universal blessing and identifying ourselves as a universal blessing, as an unselfed, selfless I within the whole, gaining the blessings of the whole rather than the blessings of a part. And then we say, well, how big is the idea in relationship to spirit? We say, oh, well, the idea is as big as spirit itself, and therefore it reflects principle. But when it reflects principle, it reflects every other idea. And I mentioned that spirit now seems to be the hinge of the Christianity order because spirit has to do with reflection, and the Christianity realm is the realm of love, the realm of pure reflection. So it's really seems to be that which brings out that realm of pure reflection of love, the all in all. Because every idea reflects principle now and every other idea. This makes us then spiritually minded, we could say spiritually transparent, giving up any sense of being opaque in any way that Christ is taking that away from us. Then we come to life, truth, and love. And this life, truth, and love takes on a nice sense of kind of a roundness to it. It's kind of not a unit, but there's kind of a nice flow happening around life, truth, and love, in that they're like a unit, but it's much more of a flow than a sequence. Like, it's that at life, each idea is a fatherhood of the idea. Each idea is as big as life itself, and therefore expresses the father sense of life, and yet it's a fatherhood now of the idea. Where we saw at the point of life at the word that life was the capital father, and at the point of the Christ that life was the fatherhood of God, God in its operation, hooding its, see the fatherhood, the hood is expressing the father sense of God at Christ. Here, we have then, at the sense of life, we have the accentuation on the fatherhood of the idea itself, which is different than, of course, as we've just seen then, as the fatherhood of God at the point of the Christ. So, therefore, we will see what that means in a moment, in a fuller way. But that fatherhood of the idea, where that idea is always fathering itself and everything else in the universe, it brings out through that fatherhood sense of the idea to itself and every other idea, the fullness of true manhood. And it gets rid of any sense of lack. We'll see how that operates in a moment. And then at truth, we say every idea is as big as truth itself. And at that point, what we see then is how the idea is the sonship to itself. The sonhood, you can say, but that doesn't work too well. So it says sonship of the idea, how the idea is claiming for itself all that the Father has, and claims for every other idea all the Father has. So you have the fullness of true manhood coming out at the point of life, and at truth, you have man having dominion, or then the brotherhood of man coming out. When we sonship ourselves with God and every other idea, you get that sense of brotherhood, which always comes out in the sense of a love tone. The brotherhood of all mankind, we hear a lot today. That gives it rid of any sense of negativity towards each other. And then we'll see in a moment this motherhood of the idea. The idea is as big as love itself, and therefore it motherhoods itself and every other idea. Therefore, again, it's fulfilling its true manhood and gets rid of any sense that it is in a fatalistic, nihilistic world, which doesn't have any fullness and wholeness and love going on. So let's look now at this law of life, truth, and love as it seems to spin around really that concept of spirit, which fills in really this lower part of the Christ order. So if we look then at page 55, just a page over in the study aid, this then begins to show us in detail what we were just seeing there at life, truth, and love. What really now constitutes the fatherhood of an idea at life, the sonship of an idea at truth, and the motherhood of an idea at love. And therefore, what it shows is this is, I've referred back to this a lot during the week, where our real obligation is at the standpoint of Christianity. And here I really like to call it Christianity and not Christianity, because it gets rid of that false sense of Christianity where we force a situation sometime where we put ourselves out of the way to help others. I mean, where we help others first before we help ourselves. And that is nice, it's loving, it's wonderful, but sometimes that is overdone to the neglect of oneself. And therefore, that's not really taking on one's true manhood, which this sense of Christianity wants us to do. So it's showing real sense of Christianity where we follow the fatherhood of the idea, the sonship of the idea, and the motherhood of the idea. And point one is first to who? To the neighbor? No, it says first to ourselves. So we see that's already different, isn't it, than what goes on in a false sense of Christianity, where we feel we must help others before one helps oneself. We always thought that was a little egotistical to help oneself first, that we should really go without and have the other have everything. But in this law, we have everything the other has, everything also, through letting this law of universal reflection reflect within our consciousness. So this, you can see, hinges on that point of spirit, that sense of the one universal reflection, that love universe of the all in all, which is being reflected everywhere. And so here then, we see that it's a law that really begins to have its impact when we take it spiritually and we ponder it out and live it out in our sense. So we say, okay, therefore, what seems to be going on here? We say, oh, well, what is the true sense of Christianity? We say, well, it's this universal reflection of ideas. What does it mean? How can I participate in that participatory universe of a universal reflection of ideas? What's my job within the whole? What am I responsible for within the whole? What makes me a real Christian, so to speak, a really partaking of the realm of Christianity? And I say, well, then what one must do is at the point of the father sense of myself, that I must first see that, because principle is always providing for me at the point of life on the absolute Christian science, spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately, always out of divine origin, the abundance of the ideas of mind, and the abundance of the ideas of spirit, and the abundance of the ideas of soul, and the abundance of the ideas of principle, and the abundance of the ideas of life, and the abundance of the ideas of truth, and the abundance of the ideas of love. And because love is always eternalizing themselves and saying, and mind will never lose sight of itself, that which has been provided you out of the infinite well of life will never lose sight of itself. And we say, oh, that's wonderful. Now, is there anything I can do to maintain that law of conservation in my consciousness, to entertain that life is always giving me everything out of the well of life, all that it can give? And what it can give are all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And they never lose sight of themselves. And then we say, well, what I can do, shall I run away with them and, you know, keep them for myself? Well, I should at first at least identify them to me, and make them. I should respond to that law on the level of absolute Christian science. All that life is providing for me, then I provide for myself. See, this is the father. The fatherhood of the idea for itself. Then it says, all that life is giving to me, then I'm going to provide that for myself. I'm going to maintain that for myself. I'm going to support that for myself. I'm going to to let that be feed me myself. That means I'm going to respond to it, and I'm going to see, therefore, that I give to myself then all the ideas that life is providing for me. Then I am going to actually give that to myself. I'm not going to reject what's coming to me. I'm going to accept the gift here. I'll give it to myself, you see. And at the point of truth, I'm going to claim it for myself, take possession of it for myself. And at the point of love, I'm going to cherish it for myself, embrace it for myself. So I'm going to be the father to myself, I'm going to be the son to myself, and I'm going to be the mother to myself. At the point of fatherhood, I'm going to give myself that. I'm not going to not give it to myself. I'm going to claim it for myself, take possession, and I'm going to embrace it. Gee, Mrs. Eddy says so often, I know that in that book on the seventh day that Richard Oakes has, she has a little section in there that says, take possession of your identity. So often all this is pouring out, but we don't take possession of it, do we? It's there. Life is pouring it out, and love is preserving it, but there is a responsibility at Christian Science level. It isn't just fatalism as it showed there. There's something we have to do, and it's to respond and claim it. It can be coming, pouring out towards us. And it's true that life is providing and love is maintaining, but on this particular standpoint of Christian Science, we actively then just, she says always, take possession of your life, meaning that's very important. So that's what we do here. We give, claim, and accept for ourselves that we are as big as principal mind. And that we identify, we go through that whole point of, here we say, well, we give and claim for ourselves that we are as big as principal mind, that we identify ourselves with principal mind and every other idea. We reflect principal mind and every other idea through this wonderful law of reflection. So yes, I'm going to take possession of that for myself. And then you just think of what it means when we take, give, claim, and except for ourselves, we're all the ideas of mind, principal mind. And we give, claim, and except for ourselves that we're all the ideas of spirit. And we give, claim, and except for ourselves we're all the ideas of soul. We don't run ourselves down in our consciousness, regardless of the criticism that comes towards us. We won't let that touch us. We know how to father, son, and mother ourselves. And we got to do it to ourselves first before the universe does it to us. We do it first. We're going to father ourselves. We're going to sonship ourselves and mother ourselves. So we have the right to do it, it says here. So we give, claim, and accept for ourselves. As I said, we're all the ideas of mind. We give, claim, and accept for ourselves. We're all the ideas of spirit. We give, claim, and accept for ourselves. We're all the ideas of soul. We give, claim, and accept for ourselves. We're all the ideas of principle, life, truth, and love. We take possession of what life is providing for us. Very, very important. That can sneak in often where we run our own selves down. We're usually harder on ourselves than others are harder on us.